Welcome to the Liver Lounge, your go-to podcast for the latest updates in hepatology, featuring discussions with the world's leading experts.
Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to our latest episode of the Liver Foundation podcast. I'm Dr. Margaret Ting from the National University Health System in Singapore, and I have with me today Dr. Chiro Chelsa. He's from the Imperial College London, as well as the University of Palermo in Italy. And he's recently been the first author of an article that was published in a journal of hepatology. And this is a really interesting article. It's on the characteristics and outcomes of immunotherapy-related liver injury in patients with hepatocellular carcinoma versus other advanced solid organ tumors. So welcome, Dr. Chelsa, to our podcast today.
Good morning, Margaret. Hello to everyone.
Okay, great to have you with us today. And I guess as a kind of a background to start off our interview, Dr. Chelsa, can I just ask what prompted you to, or what prompted your team to actually come up with this idea of the study, and what are some of the specific aims that the study aims to achieve?
Yes, thank you, Margaret. Immunotherapy-based regimens have revolutionized the management of cancer. Recently, it has been introduced also in the HCC setting, determining an important improvement in patient outcomes. However, it should also be considered that immune checkpoint inhibitors-based regimens are also associated with a wide range of immune-related adverse events. And among immune-related adverse events, there is also the potential for liver toxicity, for liver injury. We know that immune-related liver injury has an incidence that could arrive until 15% in randomized clinical trials. Immune-related liver injury deserves an important consideration in patients with hepatocellular carcinoma, because hepatocellular carcinoma often arises on a background of chronic liver disease or cirrhosis. So in these patients, we thought that immune-related liver injury deserved further consideration. And it was the reason why we thought about to design a comparative studies to compare and to assess the differences in the incidence, in the clinical characteristics, and on the impact of clinical outcomes between patients with hepatocellular carcinoma and patients with other solid advanced tumors.
That's a great kind of introduction to the reason why you're doing the study. And so can I just ask, will you be able to explain the study design? How do you go about constructing a study that would help us to explain the differences in patients receiving immunotherapy for HCC and versus other solid organ tumors?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. As I said before, we aimed to compare immune-related liver injury between patients with HCC and patients with other solid advanced liver tumors. So we identified two prospective cohorts that are actually two independent cohorts. The first prospective cohort is that of Abireal study. Abireal study is an international multi-center prospective study that assessed the real-world clinical outcomes of atezolizumab plus bevacizumab in patients with hepatocellular carcinoma. And we identified this cohort to analyze the incidence of immune-related liver injury in patients with hepatocellular carcinoma, while for patients with tumors other than HCC, we identified a prospective cohort that derived from an Italian database that is called NVIDIA. The NVIDIA study was actually originally designed to assess the safety and the efficacy of vaccine for influenza in patients with cancer. They are independent cohort, but we assessed the characteristics and the incidence of immune-related liver injury in these two different cohorts. Obviously, as you said before, these two cohorts are intrinsically different because obviously patients with HCC were elderly and they obviously had a higher liver tumor burden. And they had more common, they had more commonly impaired liver function tests at baseline before to start immune-related liver immunotherapy. While the cohort of patients with other solid liver tumors had obviously a lower prevalence of liver involvement, only less than 10% had liver involvement for metastasis. They were younger and they had a lower prevalence of impaired liver function tests at baseline.
And can I ask, these cohorts that you took your data from, these were not established specifically for the purpose of this study. They were established for other studies, and you just use them for the purposes of comparing the incidence of immunotherapy-related in liver injury. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it is correct. Actually, in the BREAL cohort, the data on all immune-related toxicities were prospectively collected. So, to be honest, actually, in the BREAL cohort, the identification and assessment of immune-related toxicity was in the original idea, while it was not in the NVIDIA cohort that was originally designed for other purposes.
And I think because your study kind of aimed to look at the difference in like incidence, clinical characteristics, and outcomes of immunotherapy related liver injury, could you please maybe just explain what were the key outcomes, key endpoints that you were looking at, and also perhaps explain some of the important study results that you found?
Yes, thank you. The main the primary endpoint of this study was the incidence of immune-related liver injury. That for the first time, to the best of our knowledge, we also adjusted for the duration of a treatment exposure because it is obvious that when we assess the incidence of an adverse events, this is strictly related to the duration of treatment, of the duration of treatment exposure. And this was our first endpoint. Subsequently, we assessed if there was differences in median time to immune-related liver injury occurrence, and if there were differences in the rate of resolution, the rate of need for steroid treatment that is commonly used to treat immune-related adverse event. And finally, we assessed if there were differences in survival outcomes, including overall survival and progression-free survival, if there was if there were differences in the rate of objective response. And in the HCC cohort, we also assessed the impact of immune-related liver injury on the risk of hepatic decompensation, that is a risk typical of a patient with HCC and cirrhosis. Our main results are that the incidence, the probability to develop immune-related liver injury was significantly higher in patients with hepatocellular carcinoma. And this result was confirmed also when the incidence was adjusted for differences in treatment exposure. Briefly, we found that incidence of immune-related liver injury was about 10 times higher than in patients with HCC compared to patients with other solid tumors, with an incidence of about 11% in patients with HCC versus only 2.6% in patients with other solid liver cancer, other solid tumors. We found that the two cohorts had significantly different treatment exposure times because patients with tumors other than HCC were treated for a significantly longer time compared with HCC. And this is not a surprise because patients with tumors other than HCC are especially patients with melanoma, with lung cancer, that are tumors that have a higher probability to have response to immunotherapy compared to hepatocellular carcinoma. When comparing the median time to the development of immune-related liver injury, we found that immune-related liver injury occurred earlier, significantly earlier in patients with HCC. But despite the higher incidence of immune-related liver injury in patients with HCC compared to patients with other tumors, actually we found that this not the immune-related liver injury in patients with HCC had not a negative impact on main oncological outcomes because immune-related liver injury resolved in about 70% of patients with HCC versus about 60% in patients with other cancers. So the probability to resolve immune-related liver injury was not significantly different between the two groups. We found that only 16% of patients with HCC received steroid treatment, probably because physician treating HCC had a high threshold to give steroids in patients with cirrhosis, given the potential risks associated with steroid treatment in patients with advanced chronic liver disease. We found that resolution without steroid treatment in patients with HCC was highly common, with about 84% of patients that resolved immune-related liver injury without the use of steroid in the cohort of HCC patients. And finally, when analyzing survival outcomes, we found that there were not significant differences in overall survival and progression-free survival between patients who experienced any grade immune-related liver injury and patients who did not develop immune-related adverse events. But when focusing only on patients who developed grade 1 or grade 2 immune-related liver injury, actually we found that these patients had significantly improved overall survival and a significantly higher probability to have a radiological response in the cohort of patients with HCC compared to patients without immune-related adverse events. And finally, we found only 7% of patients with HCC who developed hepatic decompensation as a result of immune-related liver injury, and only 7% of patients with HCC underwent treatment discontinuation due to immune-related liver injury.
So I guess the overall message that you were trying to send, I mean, one of it would be that immunotherapy is not is it's actually quite safe, even for patients with underlying liver disease, actually, based on your last statement. But also that in HCC patients, the chance or the incidence of developing immunotherapy-related liver injury would be higher. Dr. Chosa, may I just ask, what do you think would be the reason why patients, HCC patients or immunotherapy, why would they be more susceptible to immune-related liver injury as what was found on your study?
Thanks. This is a very interesting question. We think that immune-related liver injury is more common in patients with HCC, probably for same reasons, for similar reasons why, for example, skin toxicity is more immune-related skin toxicity is more common in patients with melanoma, or lung immune-related lung toxicity is more common in patients with lung cancer receiving immunotherapy. It is probably related to the sharing of antigens between tumor and non-tumoral tissue. This could be an answer. Another possible answer could be related to the quite universal coexistence between HCC and chronic liver disease, mainly cirrhosis. So it is not a surprise that these patients could be more prone, could be more susceptible to develop liver injury compared to patients with other cancer that have a significantly lower prevalence of underlying chronic liver disease. Another possible explanation that we speculated in our discussion is that probably in patients with HCC and cirrhosis, the current definition of immune-related liver injury is probably not so precise, not so accurate, and not so reliable. Immune-related liver injury is usually defined as increase in aminotransferases, but we know that probably this kind of definition is not quite accurate in patients with cirrhosis and in patients with underlying chronic liver disease. This definition needs to incorporate also other parameters of liver function that has a higher impact on prognosis of patients with cirrhosis when they are impaired, for example, bilirubin, for example, INR, for example, albumin. But unfortunately, currently, we have no diagnostic tools to define immune-related liver injury that also include parameters of liver function, such as bilirubin, INR, or albumin, for example. The fact that this definition, the current definition of immune-related liver injury is probably not so accurate, is also justified and explained by our finding that patients with grade 1, grade 2 liver toxicity exhibited a significantly better overall survival, a significantly higher probability to achieve radiological response, probably because we speculated that probably it is related that this patient with low-grade immune-related liver injury do not experience a true toxicity, but probably that mild increase in aminotransferases, it is just related to response. It could be related to the lysis of tumor cells.
Dr. Chosa, do you think that, you know, given what you have just discussed, whether the current diagnostic algorithm for immune therapy related liver injury, is that inadequate? Because currently, from what how we practice, we as hepatologists usually we exclude you know all the other possible causes of liver injury, and then if you know all other in like from blood tests, everything else is excluded, then we say, yeah, this is immune therapy related liver injury, right? But do you think that this is adequate, or you know, how can we go about refining our diagnosis of IRLI?
It is an important consideration, an important question. It is true, it is correct what you said, that today diagnosis of immune-related liver injury is an exclusion diagnosis. It is needed to exclude before other possible etiologies of liver injury, such as viral reactivation, drug-induced liver injury related to drug different from immunotherapy, alcohol abuse, and obviously also tumor progression. We can say that we think that a current definition for liver injury is not adequate, and unfortunately we have not accurate diagnostic tools at this time to correctly identify immune-related liver injury. Liver biopsy could be an option, although it is actually it is discouraged by the main oncological guidelines. For example, European ESMO guidelines suggest to just consider liver biopsy in liver injury in grade three or
grade
higher
four. Yeah.
liver injury. I think that liver biopsy could be informative, could help to identify correctly immune-related liver injury, but it should also be considered that the liver biopsy is an invasive procedure with also low, but risk of also life-threatening adverse events. That is low, but it should be considered in a patient with advanced stage cancer. So future research directions should focus on the identification of non-invasive biomarkers of immune-related liver injury that unfortunately are not
We don't have
currently
at the
available.
moment. Are you aware, like in current literature, is there anyone working on, or is your group working on anything to kind of differentiate immune therapy related liver injury from other causes of liver injury in these patients?
Sorry?
Are you aware of in current literature, or would your group be working on any such biomarkers that help to differentiate immune-related liver injury from other causes of liver injury in these patients?
Actually, we have not a current protocol, an active protocol to this, but we have in mind to develop early a protocol, to a prospective protocol to try to identify these kind of biomarkers. Translational analyses are certainly needed to identify, to prove the accuracy of novel biomarkers that should hopefully be, as I said before, non-invasive biomarkers. Markers, but they should require a previous validation on, I think, on histological samples. So the ideal study to identify biomarkers should include liver biopsy, and I think liver biopsy of both tumor and both non-tumoral liver and circulating biomarkers.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is also that a lot of times, at least in where we practice, right, liver biopsy also comes with risk. And therefore, I think even in patients with grade 3 or 4, sometimes before we go for the biopsy, if it looks very clearly like an immune-related liver injury, obviously we would want to start on the steroids first. And if they respond, and then we would say that this, you know, is more likely to be immune therapy-related liver injury. I'm not sure about your experience, Dr. Chelsea, but maybe you could share with us, what is your threshold to perform liver biopsy? Do you perform a liver biopsy in all cases with grade 3 to 4 transaminitis, or you only do that if the diagnosis appears to be very atypical of immune therapy related liver injury?
Okay, thank you. Now, in our experience, we think that liver biopsy is should be mandatory when there are doubts, and especially when patients is receiving combined anti-cancer regimens, for example, immunotherapy plus standard chemotherapy, immunotherapy plus tyrosine kinase inhibitors. In these cases, I think that it is important to perform liver biopsy, because liver biopsy could show some specific histopathological signs suggesting for toxicity related to immunotherapy or toxicity related to other other kind of drugs. And this is important because it changes clinical management, and it changes and it
Yes.
impacts on the choice to give or not
Yes.
steroids.
Yes.
Except of this situation, I think that if if I take the decision to start steroid, I would also I prefer to perform liver biopsy the day in which I the day when I start steroid treatment, in order to have a baseline histopathological assessment that could be useful in the case of patients will not have a response to
steroids.
steroids, and
Okay.
I would prefer to have biopsy at the time of steroid start rather
Okay.
than to have perform liver biopsy when patient is not responding, and when patient is probably also more severe than when steroid was started.
Okay, that's a very good kind of you know, clinical pearl that you just shared with us. Going back to the study, maybe if you just okay to discuss one more point, because I think the other thing your study found is that HCC patients also actually, you mentioned that immune therapy related liver injury resolved in more patients with hepatocellular carcinoma than those with solid organ tumors. And in fact, I think resolution without steroids was more common in these patients, but this kind of goes against the fact that, you know, HCC patients to begin with, right, their liver function may not be so good and they may have already had elevated liver enzymes. So what is your take on this, and why would this be the case for HCC patients?
I think that our data suggest that probably there is an over treatment with steroids in patients other than HCC, and we demonstrated that, as you said, that a lot of patients with HCC resolved liver toxicity even without steroid. This could be related to the explanation we discussed before, probably because not all the immune-related liver injury we observed in patients with HCC are actually immune-related liver injury. As I said before, we speculated that increase in aminotransferase levels in some patients could also, in some patients with HCC, could also be expression of a response of treatment benefit related to the death, to the lysis of tumor cells. So I think that one of the messages of this study is that especially when toxicity is grade 1, grade 2, not higher than grade 2, we should wait. We should watch and wait. We should check again liver function tests in 2-3 days before to start a steroid treatment that could be also not necessary and could affect negatively the outcome of these patients in terms of the risk of infections, the risk of metabolic impairment, and also the risk that steroid treatment could reduce the efficacy of immunotherapy in a patient that probably is achieving a benefit from immunotherapy.
Okay, and last point, but I saw that, you know, your study, you also mentioned, looked at the overall survival and progression-free survival. So these patients who receive steroids, do you look at the patients who received, who number one, who had immune therapy-related liver injury, and number two, who had this liver injury and received steroids, did they have any difference in outcomes versus those who either didn't have any immune therapy related liver injury at all? And number two, for those who had liver injury but did not receive steroids, was there any difference in the outcomes in terms of survival?
Actually, our survival analysis did not take into account the receipt or not of steroids. Our survival analysis were just stratified by presence of immune-related liver injury or no immune-related adverse events. What you say is very interesting because the meaning of your observation is how steroid treatment for immune-related liver injury could impact on survival. Yeah, it is interesting. We did not perform this analysis also because, as I said before, in patients with the HCC, the proportion of patients who received steroid was quite low, was about 15%. So probably this kind of analysis could be underpowered on our database, but I think it is an interesting question for a future study.
Okay, so thanks Dr. Chelsea so much for coming onto this podcast and discussing your article. I think I learned a lot from the article as well as what you have shared with us in terms of how HCC patients with immunotherapy, how we should approach them. So before we end off, Dr. Chelsea, do you have any last words that you want to share with our audience or anything that, any message that you want to kind of share with them?
Yes, I think that at the end of the day, the main message of our paper beside our findings is that management of patients with cancer, not only with the liver cancer, but all patients with cancer undergoing treatment with immune checkpoint inhibitor with immunotherapy multidisciplinary management involving oncologists, hepatologists, and other different specialties, because it is a highly complex field that requires the skills of different specialties in order to improve the management of immune-related toxicity, and finally to improve the outcomes of our patients.
Okay, so that's a really great message to end off our discussion with. So with that, I think thank you everyone for listening in to this episode of our Liver Foundation podcast, and we hope that you will tune in again for the next episode. And thank you very much, Dr. Chelsea, for spending time to talk to us about this very important topic.
We have come to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for more captivating discussions.